more you read the Bible, the more you say, I need to do that. I need to be like that. Oh, I need to think like that. The more you get into it, the more it will shape your thinking, and the more it shapes your thinking, the more it will shape the culture around you.
The Old Testament and the New Testament together reveal God's heart of compassion for you. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest David Barton today on the Believer's Voice of Victory for a study of Bible basics. Now here's Kenneth.
Hello everybody, I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We open our hearts and our minds for revelation from heaven, a revealing of Jesus in us, for us, and around us. We receive it. We thank you for it. And in Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor. Amen. Would you join me today in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast?
Hey, Ken.
David, you're the busiest man in Texas. I know that. But then, praise God, I so appreciate you coming and sharing your time and anointing with us, because we're in a very, very, very critical time. Mm-hmm. All throughout, ever since the day the curse was released in the earth, life has been critical on this planet. And it's each generation pushes towards the climax of that generation and pushes that generation's knowledge of God, obedience to God, right to the brink. And as it develops, as revelation of God develops in the earth, each generation is responsible for what God reveals to it. So, and like someone said to Gloria, she had already said, well, these are the last days. And someone said, yeah, but every generation says that. And she said, well, I'll tell you what, it's your and my last days, whichever way it goes. And that's always true.
That's right, it is.
But this one, the things that are happening now are very, very unique. Other generations in the past have pointed to it, knew it was coming, and now we're seeing it manifest right in front of our faces. So what we do and what we say, the faith that we release towards God is so important, not just for the recovery of the economy or the salvation of our personal nation, or things like that. But our faith to God to wrap up and complete His plan as He planned it, praise God, which is always to our benefit. And I'm just seeing all kinds of things that are just coming more clear every day. The split between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And this kingdom that we got born into when we made Jesus Lord of our lives, we're supposed to be living here separate from that. But so much and so many of God's people have gotten over in there. Don't know the laws and the language of the kingdom of God. And so are getting cheated and robbed out of what God, literally Jesus gave His life for us to be able to do and be able to live untouched by that mess.
That's right.
And His people are suffering needlessly.
We are, and a lot of it is self-inflicted, because the solution's right here. And the number of people that don't know God's Word and live by it, you go back to Matthew 22, 29, where Jesus says, you guys make a mistake. You don't know the Scriptures, and therefore you don't know the power of God. And one of the things that has really stood out to me Jesus has told us in so many occasions. He goes through it in Luke 13. He goes through it in Matthew 6. So many places. You know, a tree by its fruits. And so if I look at a tree and it's got a big old sign on it that says I'm an apple tree and it keeps producing bananas, I don't care what the sign says. And
yeah,
we're finding
true.
That with Christianity. A great example is worldwide in the 70s, 80s, 90s, we've seen a number of revivals across the world. We saw in the 80s, particularly late 70s, throughout the 80s, early 90s, revivals in Central America. We saw revivals in South America. They were national news and people wrote books about them. We saw them in Africa. And one of the significant things, if you look at the evangelization of Africa in the 20th century, you now have nations that in Africa are 90% professing Christian nations, 90%. That's 3 to 4 generations now of Christians in those mm-hmm. nations. We have, specifically in Central America, I know of one nation that is 90% Christian as a result of all these revivals. And this 15, 20 years ago, these revivals happened. So great to have 90%. Here's the problem. The nations in Africa that are 90% Christian, the AIDS rate today is higher than it was 10 years ago. The government corruption today is higher than it was 10 years ago. Poverty has increased in those nations. Then what good did it do to have Christianity come to your nation? Because now you've got more corruption, you've got more AIDS, you've got more poverty. The mistreatment of women's continued. Where's the fruit of Christianity? And the nation in Central America that's 90% Christian just elected openly homosexuals as their national leaders. Now, how does a Christian do that, given the Bible? It's because we don't know what's in here. Mm. We don't know it. We don't
that's
live
right.
it. And that's what's killing us. Romans 8:19 says the whole earth is groaning for the manifestation of God's people. I mean, start acting like God's people. And in America particularly, this is a problem we have right now. There's national polling done by a number of groups. You have Zogby, you have Gallup, you have Pew. But the one of them that's a national group that really focuses on Christians is George Barna. And George Barna now has gone through 70 categories of moral behavior, looking at moral behavior in the nation, and he says that he can find no substantial difference between professing Christians and non-Christians on moral behavior.
Where's he looking? He didn't call me.
No, he didn't call us, but there's too few of us, and Christians professing name need to be there.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, here's one of the stats that got me from a number of polling places, is in America, the divorce rate for born-again Christians is 27%. So born-again Christians, 27. Okay, so what's the rest of the nation, not born-again Christian? The rest of the nation is 24%. And for atheists and agnostics, the divorce rate is 21%. Now tell me why atheists agnostics have more stable marriages than born-again Christians.
Well, let's plug this into the mix. And this is a real eye-opener for me. Satan is not attacking atheists,
no, he's not.
Agnostics.
He's not.
He's not attacking
That's
the
right.
world out there. They'll kill themselves.
That's right.
But somebody gets into the kingdom of God and begins to pick that Bible up, Jesus said he will come immediately trying to stop the word
That's
in
right.
their lives.
That's
he'll
right.
persecute. He'll do everything he can to stop that.
And he'll even look like an angel of light when
oh,
he does
yeah.
it. He'll look like one of us coming with something that, oh, no, you don't do that.
And if they don't know their weapon,
if they don't know
who they are in Christ Jesus, man, I'm telling you what, just in the natural, in the carnal mind, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I'm a country boy, you're a country boy, I've got my cowboy boots on. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, if we're ignorant of his devices, then he has an advantage
That's
over
right.
us. And in the country, what makes traps work, I mean, the reason we can mm-hmm. trap skunks is they don't know what a trap looks like. If they ever figure out what a trap looks like, we can't trap hogs if they know what the trap looks like.
David, I went to one bullfight in my life. I wouldn't have gone to that. I didn't want to go to that thing. I was in another country. I was in Mexico, and I was in a position to where it would have been an insult for me not to go, and so I went. In a way, I'm glad I did, because the Lord showed me something out of it. I'm standing there watching this thing, and I'm watching this big, fine animal.
Mm-hmm.
At fine bread, strong, the best of the best. And he keeps attacking
yeah.
a red rag.
Yeah.
He thinks that red cloth is his enemy, and he continually misses his enemy who's standing right in front of him. He's standing right there in eyesight of him.
Yeah.
But he's focused on that red rag. And that and the man out there in the ring knows good and well if he ever notices who he is, he'll kill him.
He's in trouble. That's right.
He ain't got a chance against this thing.
That's right.
He's got to keep his attention over here with that red rag. And the Lord started talking to me about that. He said, what you are witnessing is the way the devil has managed to handle my people who don't know who they are, don't know their weapons, don't have any understanding of the spiritual rules and laws in the kingdom of God. And so they're still living over here in the kingdom of darkness and don't know any better.
They've got a label that says, I'm a born-again Christian, but they're still thinking very much like the world.
That's it.
They haven't had mind renewal at all. No mind. This is not. There's a great verse I love in Romans 12, too. In the King James, it says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But in the Phillips, I love this. Phillips translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. In a lot of ways, we've let secular people tell Christians how they should think and react, and here's how we should do with economics, and here's what we think about government, and here's what we think about education, here's what we think about media, here's what we think about entertainment, athletics. We don't take those things back and say, what does the Bible say about these issues? And so we've let our thinking be shaped by what we hear in the news, what we read in the newspaper, what our neighbors tell us, sometimes what we hear out of the pulpits, which is not biblical a lot of the times. There's a lot of stuff going on that's shaping the way Christians think. And that's why we're not seeing the behavioral fruits. The earth is groaning for us to manifest ourselves as Son of God. But when you say, here comes Christianity to Africa, and it increases the age rate, that's not the manifestation of the sons of God. We're not living this stuff out. And that goes back to our thinking. I mean, we're just not putting this. I have a good friend who teaches a Sunday school class. He's a Bible-thumping evangelical, and his class is. And he asked him one time, he said, you know, let's just figure out how many times we've read through the Scriptures among us. So just, these were all folks that had kids probably 14, 15 years old. And so teen kids. And he said, you know, if you consider reading through the Bible once every year, let's just figure out in our adult lives, you know, let's say from 18 on. So I've got 20 years I could have read through the Bible. And so they went around and gathered up, and there were 365 adult years in that class. They had read through the Bible seven times out of 365 years only, and four of them was from the guy teaching the class. These others, out of all the other people, only three times had the Bible been read through from cover to cover. And here they are in church, and they're going to Sunday school, but they haven't been in the book. They have not shaped their thinking according to what the book says, and that's really where we are. Just ask how many Christians have read through this thing from cover to cover, even once. You know, how many know the context? How many know what Jesus said? How many know that 26 times in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, and this was done, or Matthew said, this was done to fulfill the prophecy of whatever. You know, if you don't go back and read those prophecies, you don't know what the New Testament's about. In the book of Hebrews, more than 200 times, it quotes the Old Testament. You can't understand the book of Hebrews if you don't understand the Old Testament. You got to read the whole thing. Otherwise, you don't even get the New Testament message. And that's where we have to get, is we have to get into this book. There's a great quote that comes from Booker T. Washington, a black American, Tuskegee.
One of my heroes,
Me too. He is such a cool guy. He says, no man can read the Bible and be lazy. He said, the Bible increases your capacity, increases your desires, and therefore your capacity to achieve. The more you read the Bible, the more you say, I need to do that. I need to be like that. Oh, I need to think like that. The more you get into it, the more it will shape your thinking, and the more it shapes your thinking, the more it will shape the culture around you.
Let me see if this is an accurate summary of that. A lot of people have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior that are not yet disciples of His.
That's right.
What He did, what He says, what the book says has no effect on their life from day to day.
That's right.
They don't know what it says.
That's right.
And if somebody comes along and says, now, you don't need to be doing that. Well,
we've always done it. Yeah, my family's always done it. I see it on TV. We got all these reasons for it. Matthew 28, you saying that reminded me of the Great Commission, because Matthew 28, 18 to 20, I think most Christians know this, they've heard it. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the earth. Now, we take that and we have turned that into an evangelism mandate. We go tell everybody about Jesus. That's okay, but that's not what he said. He said, you teach them everything I have taught you. So if I go to Matthew 19, I'm going to have to do a teaching on no-fault divorce, because that was his teaching in Matthew 19. Yeah. If I go to Matthew 20, I'm going to have to do a teaching on the inviolability of contracts between employers and employees and the minimum wage, because he has a whole teaching in Matthew 20 on employers. And if I go to Matthew 25, I'm going to have to teach about the capital gains tax, because he talks about systems of taxation that punish those who make a profit and that reward those who don't make a profit. And that's what we do. And if I'm going to teach, see, the Great Commission is a discipleship commission. It's not an evangelism commission. He says, you teach them everything I've taught you.
Making
disciples of all men. Not just getting your fire insurance. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. But you need to live biblically once you get saved.
You know, David, there was a glaring example of this during my generation. As I was born in the mid to latter part of the Great Depression, 1936. Mm-hmm. Okay, as I came into young manhood, I graduated from high school in 1955. The great healing revival broke out in those days, right after World War II. And I mean, David, people were getting saved on the streets. They were getting saved in every kind of a meeting you could think of. God poured out His Spirit on this nation. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
Yes.
Now, here I am 30 years old, coming into this ministry. I'm getting a look back at that now. That great thing continued, and then here in through Oral Roberts' ministry and others that came up in that healing flow. Mm-hmm. And he was right here at the forefront of it, and it grew up under him like that. Now, I'm seeing the results in the late 60s. Of all of the, I'm talking about multiplied millions of people that got healed.
That's right.
They got born again.
That's right.
And then the charismatic renewal began right on the wave of that. And there's more people got baptized in the Holy Ghost than anybody dreamed ever
would. The Jesus movement of the early 70s, you betcha.
It was everywhere.
Yep.
Now, right here was this huge gap between all those people that got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then along came Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry right up behind that. The Lord would have him go into an area church right after one of those big healing campaigns and begin to teach people that had gotten saved in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of them thought they were in deep trouble because their healings began to vanish.
Yeah.
Well, there were preachers that preached everywhere. See, God's taking His hand off of Oral Roberts. And you kidding? I mean, Oral didn't heal them.
Yeah.
But the problem was they went right back to the way they were thinking.
That's right.
And acting that brought the sickness in the first place.
Right.
And now Brother Hagin get in there and spend 2 or 3 weeks and get in the Word and how faith functioned.
Right.
And then as they began to grow up in the Word and their thinking began to be renewed, they latched back onto that healing and kept it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I saw that gap. Well, here I came up right on the crest of that wave. And the Lord, that's what the Lord started dealing with me about. Mm-hmm. He said, I have a sleeping giant in the land.
Yeah.
And He's talking about that whole mass of people. Mm-hmm. And He said, I'm going to wake them up. Well, I shouted, hallelujah. And He said, you the needle. I said, oh, God, no, I don't want to be the needle.
Yeah.
But during those years, particularly the first 15 years of this ministry, David, I said and did things that I just wouldn't ordinarily do
yeah.
or say. And I'd get out of the meeting and I'd think,
what did I do?
Oh, man, a lie, that was ugly. But it either makes somebody so mad they couldn't sleep,
mm-hmm.
and they go get in the Word to prove me wrong, and there it was all the time.
Yeah.
And very simple all the time.
Yeah.
And I had pastors and preachers and people that would say, Brother Copeland, I have to apologize to you, brother. I mean, I did not know it was in there. Come to find out, everybody was just parroting
what everybody else was
saying. Everybody else
yeah,
said.
You betcha.
It was what our group mm-hmm. said and what our theology said.
This is what we've
said.
Always said and
yeah.
what we've always exactly.
No personal
right.
study
That's
at
right.
all.
That's right. That's exactly. And you know, one of the a great example, because I've been struck in the same way. Paul loved the Bereans. Here's a guy who traveled the world, the known world, he went from Spain to Great Britain all the way over into Asia. And all these places he went on his missionary journeys, preaching everywhere he goes. I cannot imagine how many thousands of groups he preached to. And the one he liked best was the Bereans in Acts 17:11. And the reason he liked them, he says, I talked to them, they don't believe me. He said, they have to go check it in the Scriptures every day to see if I'm telling them the truth. He said, they're more noble than anybody
else. That wasn't
else
an insult.
There was not an insult.
And there are people that would think that it would be because
That's
they wouldn't believe it.
Hey, I'm an apostle. Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus. You got to believe me. No, we think we'll check the Scriptures yeah. and see if you're telling the truth. And,
Amen.
And Paul said that's the most noble group of all of his travels, one in the world or the other. The most noble group was the one that says, I'm glad you said that. Let me check it out. And if we get in there and check God's Word, I don't care how many credentials they've got after their name. I don't care how many times they've done something right. Check it out. Get in God's Word. And if we have to train ourselves to get in here and stay in here and think biblically, because that's what's going to turn the world around. And that's what the earth is groaning for, is us getting in the Word and living the Word.
Absolutely.
And not just living a Christian lifestyle, because Christian lifestyle doesn't mean much anymore. We need a biblical lifestyle.
Man, let's lay down then this first biblical principle that we're going to be walking in all this week. Number one, God's Word must be final
yeah.
authority.
That's right.
It says what it says, but I don't understand that, Brother Cook. Then don't do anything until you do. You put this book final authority. It is first place in my life.
Right.
This is what I do. This is what I say. This is what I think. And with God's help, I will be transformed. That's the first step in living in the kingdom of God, separate from the kingdom of darkness. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We the believers must shape our future, but why look back? God said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now more than ever, it's crucial to know what saves a nation. God's Word produced America's success for centuries.
If we can understand American exceptionalism, understand why we are prosperous and free and stable, we can go back and protect those seeds that have caused us to be a different nation.
Join David Barton in Building on the American Heritage. You'll be engaged as he unveils the truth of America's past.
You just blew another paradigm because you said the very purpose of education is so you could study the Word of God to hold your leaders
That's right.
accountable.
His extensive breakdown will give you clarity on what God expects of government, the church, and the individual so you can enforce a better tomorrow.
Jesus said, hey, you're salt. You're the thing that preserves this. Well, guess what? If we pull ourselves out of the civil arena, we pull the preservative out. Mm. It's going to get rotten real quick.
It's your duty. You were raised for such a time as this. Order Building on the American Heritage series today for just $59.95, a savings of 25%. Join David Barton and discover the Founding Fathers' biblical intent. This clarity will empower you to act wherever you are. And when you act, the people will once again rejoice. Discover the truth and make a stand. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. Or call toll-free 800-600-7395. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Building on the American Heritage Series. David, this is dynamite, man. I tell you, I mean, this is hot right off the press, and you need to get yours. This is so vitally important. Amen. You just have to get into this. You can't build on something if you don't know what it is. And if you're not building our generation's duty is to build on the foundation that the Lord gives the generation right before us. And if we don't prepare our young ones, they don't have anything to build on either. You really need to get a hold of this, because I'll tell you, David has put the truth of the American past. Well, I can't say enough about it. You just need to get yours, get hold of this. Father, we thank you with all of our hearts for this broadcast today. Thank you, sir, for the Spirit of God leading us into all truth and building us up on our most holy faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Gloria and I, 17 years ago, went to Washington, D.C., well, right outside Washington there in Woodbridge at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. And every year since then, we've had a meeting in that place. And this year, November 10th through the 12th, every year, the Word has gotten stronger, mm-hmm. It's become more powerful, and it has developed into a body of work. I'll tell you, I can hardly wait to see what God's going to do this time, because it is amazing the things that we've heard and seen in the past. You pray, you believe God. God will get you there. Praise God. People from all over the world are going to be there hungry to hear the Word of God, and you need to be there also. I'm glad you could be with us today. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast, and be praying with us. Believe in God with us. Praise the Lord. And until then, we'll see you. This is Kenneth and David reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 8th through the 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Jesus called the written word the wisdom of God.
That's right.
It is the written will of God for all men, for all time.
That's right.